Welcome to House Seats Presents, your live look at entertainment. I'm your host, Bryce Krausman. And we have a nice, lively little audience out here, I can tell. Look at them all. There's a lot of men in the audience today. I'm guessing they all came in to see Miss April Leopardi over here on my side, here to dance. This is so exciting.
This is exciting.
I think this is only our second dancer we've had on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm very excited to talk dance because a lot of times we're just talking to over-the-top performers, which I love. Like when we had Reva Rice here, we were just talking before the show started. Reva Rice, we are allowed to use the word fuckery today if you'd like.
I'm glad Reva paved the way for me.
She does. You know what?
I appreciate her.
We very rarely swore on the show before she came on.
Really?
Shaking his head out there.
Women's rights.
We tried not to be too, you know, out there, but you know, when the word fuckery comes up, I feel like I need to say this.
You have to acknowledge it.
So we're very excited to have you here because we just saw your show. We do a little weekend roundup right before we get into the crux of your career here. Mm-hmm. So we came and saw Zombie Burlesque on Thursday night. Yeah. We had a very busy weekend.
So
Enoch was on the show last week.
He was.
And we didn't get a chance to see the show because it's dark on Sundays.
Right.
So we didn't get a chance before we interviewed him. So we told him we were coming this week to see him. So yeah, that's my partner, Jason, right there. And of course, Enoch.
Yes.
Oh, and so much fun.
Talia and Antenor.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. They're hysterical.
They're so funny, right?
Yeah. The show,
both of them.
And the show is very endearing. Like he came on and talked last week about the show's message.
It's very deep. People don't realize, you know. I mean, you hear zombie burlesque, people have no idea what to expect when you hear that.
Exactly.
And it is funny and it's burlesque and it's zombies, but there's actually like a very sweet, heartfelt message in there, you know?
There is. And Enoch actually got a little teary-eyed at the end there, too.
Yeah.
But not before he called up my little one out here, my little Jason out here,
Hi.
On the stage, which I believe that's you over here.
Oh, my God, that is me.
flogging him and beating him in various ways. I think we even have video, Scott.
I mean...
Sorry, Jason. We have video. He was just so cute.
We couldn't help ourselves.
Yep, I know. There we go.
Yes.
There you go. And I believe that little heart shape comes out at the end. Points out.
I hate to tell you this, but your man got a little excited at the end.
I think he was more excited when he came down that he had a better hair after you guys were done with him.
I'm fixing it for him. Yeah, how nice of me.
He was so excited when he got off the stage. He was like, my hair hasn't looked any better than it does now. So clearly.
Little JBF hair.
But we were uberly impressed with your pole dancing in the show.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So when you get a chance to see the show, we're going to talk more about it, but when you get a chance to see that, April, you literally, the show was very unexpected. I had no idea what to expect in it, but your part in the show, it's awesome.
Well, thank you. Well, I actually am a full-time swing in the show. So I'm in the show every night, but I do all three of the different female tracks. So some nights I do the point, some nights I do pole, some nights I do the 50-foot zombie.
Gotcha.
And there's me doing pole.
Out in the middle of nowhere?
I mean, that's where I usually do it. I look for water runoffs. It's very relaxing.
We tried to get one in here before you got here. So maybe by the end of the show, you can teach me something upside down, just, you know, on the ground.
Very nice. I think you could manage that pose,
You know what? I want to get ahead of myself, but I know, you know, do you do yoga and do you do all kinds of other weightlifting? Because I know your abs would put any man to shame. I mean, abs are amazing. Holy moly.
These old things. I do yoga. I do hammock yoga.
Okay.
Hammock yoga, which sounds
like
very relaxing,
kind of yogas,
right?
That you guys do?
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of aerialists that do it. It seemed to me like it would be very calm and comforting. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I live a very busy life. I like to work 20 jobs at once. Uh-huh. They're all very physical. So I thought, hammock yoga, that sounds so nice. I'll be very zen and relaxed. And I could
like
not have been more
wrong. Wine while you're doing it. Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not even kind of. Yeah. Having the hammock actually just enables you to do a lot more challenging things.
Gotcha.
You get to invert, or you have one leg up in the hammock while you're trying to do other poses, or your arms. And you're like, wow, this is way harder than normal yoga. Yay. Mm-hmm. Just what I wanted. But it's actually really, really amazing.
Wow. And where do you do that at? Studio?
I take it a couple different places. Okay. The hammock yoga I take at Polecats Aerial Fitness, which I also do most of my aerial training there.
Is that the one we heard about over there? Okay, my sister has been talking about taking aerial yoga.
Yes.
Wow. And that's Alice.
Yes, that is Alice. And that's
Scott, you're getting ahead of me in photos. Just kidding. Aerial.
I'm in the air.
And her hair is very aerial. La, la, la.
It all comes around.
It does. So aerial yoga. at the aerial hammock yoga.
Hammock yoga at Polecats, okay. Polecats Aerial Fitness, which also I do a lot of my Lyra training, which is the photo you just saw was in a Lyra. At Polecats, I also take at Shine and at Fernadero.
Ah, I've heard of Shine.
Yes.
Yes. That's run by some Cirque people, right?
Yes. Dima is the man who runs it, and he is in Zumanity.
Yeah.
He is terribly, terribly talented.
Do we need to take this class?
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like maybe we're going to do a little video of us going back and doing that. I think a further show we're going to do is like actually going to the yoga studio and taking some aerial yoga classes.
Yes. You should come and take a pole class.
Oh, come on.
It's so much fun.
I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd be really awesome.
I think it'd be great.
So we also caught another show over the weekend. I don't know if you've seen this show. This is the one you're not in, maybe, if you're in all the lot of shows. 50 Shades parody.
Oh, yes.
Over at Bally's. Oh, my.
That is a fun show.
Now, I've never read the book.
Neither have I.
Yeah. We watched the movie, but I never read the book. And so I guess it obviously does, you know, closely parody the book more than the movie does.
Yes.
But, you know, it has, you know, and actually amazing talent of the singers, the three women who sort of play the desperate housewives, if you will.
Right.
Getting a kick out of reading this book.
Of course.
And sort of the parody is Christian, who's a little bit more overweight than, you know,
than
the Christian Grey character is. And there is a scene where he actually dances on stage in a wrestling onesie.
Oh my God.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We don't have any video of that because I think they banned photos in the show. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
It was awfully dark in there. And we, you know, we were sitting. This is at Windows Theater in Bally's and upstairs. And so, you know, the group of us, we're sitting back there. There's about six of us in the back in the sort of the VIP or crow's nest watching it with everyone else sort of up there. And the audience was not reacting at all.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very uncomfortable watching the show where you have the half naked men and then you have the women on stage, you know, having these moments and you're just kind of like, oh, this is kind of awkward
for
everyone.
You know, it's terrible. I feel like a lot of times in shows like that, it happens in zombie burlesque as well. People forget that they're a live audience and they feel like they're just watching TV.
Right.
And we're like, ta-da!
Yeah.
And they're just not doing anything. But 50 Shades, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no,
I was
it's
probably
definitely
laughing
funny.
Obnoxiously.
Yeah. Oh, we were. Oh, we definitely were in the back. But it was that audible, like, we're the only ones laughing in here. And I don't know what's happening in the front because you can't see these people.
Right.
These poor victims. And they're definitely husbands and wives. You know, they're very paired off in the show.
Uh-huh.
The audiences.
That's true.
And so if they're not feeling it, It's very sexually driven, you know, and it can be kind of challenging. Whereas in your show, so when we saw Zombie Burlesque, first of all, you walk in and the theater is very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, you know, just long, long theater. Mm-hmm. And you get some more airtime there. In your number 84 problems. and that was not one of them.
Zombies ain't
it was
one.
Not
one.
But, you know, the audience was awesome. And we had some fratish guys behind us yelling out some sort of words.
That happens.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when they go around and say, oh, there you are.
And here's the other side of us in my Catholic schoolgirl costume. Quite different from zombie burlesque.
But I love, you know, that they go out in the audience and say, what do you name your Johnson?
What do you name
your penis? What do you name? And so, you know, I think, what did that one guy name his? It was something... Little junior or so, whatever.
Oh, why would you name it something
small? I
know,
little. Why would you?
Little anything.
Why would you name
no.
it little anything?
Oh, goodness. I've heard so many.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even keep track. We actually, the dump truck that comes out with the prisoners in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the back of the dump truck. Yes.
Yeah.
Your usual Wednesday night. On the back of the dump truck, our stage manager writes down all of his favorites. So there's a massive list on the back of the dump truck.
Gotcha.
I believe one is called a moisture-seeking crotch missile.
Ooh.
That was one.
That's a good acronym.
Nothing's
we
off
can
the
make
table,
that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No, you can say anything.
Because that wasn't mine. Okay,
moisture-seeking
I didn't have nothing to do with these.
Crotch
missile.
Okay. Missile.
There's goodness.
we're gonna remember that one.
Did Enoch tell you what he says?
For his?
Yeah. Sometimes, every once in a while, when he's asking the audience, someone will be like, "What do you name yours?"
Oh no, yeah.
And his response is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, or at least that's what's tattooed on it. I love
you know,
that.
We didn't get into that last week.
Surprisingly.
He was drinking too much
on
stage.
Yes.
What?
Oh.
Which we can have. What do you have? What do you have here?
I believe I have Jack Honey right
there
now.
You go.
How about you?
Mm-hmm. I have a little bourbon. Woodford Reserve.
Oh, goodness.
Let me. You know what? As I was doing my research about you, this is an interesting story. So this Uh-oh. Weekend, I also own DW Bistro.
Yes.
Having a moment for
oh,
that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, right. Mother's Day yesterday.
Yes, happy Mother's Day.
120 people in line before we opened the door.
Are you kidding me?
I don't have that photo. I was too busy getting ready for those mothers.
You know,
but
working.
Oh, it was crazy. But the day before, we did a derby party.
Yes.
So I read that your very first job,
this is good,
was you worked a derby after party when you were about 15 years old.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It was bananas. I had no idea how to be a professional dancer. I had been in the competition circuit like a lot of dancers growing up. Yeah. It was me and my best friend Trevor.
Okay.
And we had kind of started pairing up. Like we come as a package now because we're best friends and we dance together and we're partners. It's going to be amazing. So there was a studio instructor, a choreographer who came to a competition and saw the two of us dancing and was like, "Hey, I would love to hire you for this event." And we were like, "Hire us? You'll give us money to dance? Of course, this is magical, right?" So we had to drive, we did a couple of rehearsals and then we had to drive to Kentucky and we were just like so excited to get there. And then we got in this massive room and everything that you can imagine now as a professional going wrong went wrong. You know, nothing was on time. Nothing was ready. There were animals in there that were defecating around the room.
My.
There were like camels.
Yeah.
There was an elephant. Apparently other people were doing performances with animals.
Okay.
There was pyro going off that they didn't tell us about.
Pyro
like,
and animals.
People got hit with pyro and were being burned and like costumes didn't fit. Like nothing went right. And they were like, at the end of the weekend, we finally did our performances, you know, and they were like, "Here's $200. And we were like, "Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
This is amazing. I want to do this for the rest of my life." And we looked back and I was like, okay, I would never do that job for $200 ever again. I'm like, there's pyro going, the union needs to be involved, you know,
right.
You don't care. I'm actually not like that at all. I'll take any job ever, but you know, it's
this sounds like a one of those Fellini movies, those Italian movies where there's animals and monkeys on backs and pyro going off.
Like people walking by juggling and, you know, just all sorts of things going on. There were aerialists there. I had never seen an aerialist before. There was a man doing silks and flying.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like crying. It was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do this forever. And we were doing like a number to Thriller in zombie costumes. Everything comes around, you know, and it was just awful. But the way I remember it is just magical.
Yeah,
of
course.
It was so wonderful.
When did you start wanting to be a dancer before that time? At what age did this become instilled in you? That's what you wanted to do.
Oh, pretty much since I could walk.
Yeah.
I started taking dance classes when I was 2.
Okay.
Mostly because my sister was 4 and I mean, big sisters are the coolest human beings on the planet. So I wanted to do what she was doing. I was like, I want to dance too. But I just fell in love right away. In fact, my mom always tells a funny story because when I was about 3, I decided I wanted to be a fly girl. Do you remember the fly girls
from In Living Color? Yeah.
That's
Jennifer
all
Lopez.
I wanted.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Jennifer Lopez. That was it. Mm-hmm. From like 3 to 7. I wanted to be a fly girl. And my dad is an engineer.
Okay.
So he was like, "You can be a physicist. You can build bridges. You can cure cancer." And I was like, "I want to be a fly girl." Mm-hmm. I was like, okay,
he's like,
you can do that too, I guess. And that was it. I never stopped dancing after that.
Was there encouragement even besides the engineer part? Was there encouragement for you to actually go in the dancer realm?
It was difficult for my parents at first. Mm-hmm. I did a lot on my own kind of growing up. We were homeschooled in my family. Mm-hmm. So
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Ohio.
Okay. Oh, hey. What?
Are you from Ohio?
Look at his face.
Oh my God. What part? Where?
Worcester.
I'm sorry.
This is not
I'm
your
I'm from
interview.
Cincinnati.
Just kidding.
I grew up in Cincinnati. Yeah.
WKRP.
Very far apart.
You can talk
in
after.
Cincinnati.
Okay. I'm just kidding. There's a little Ohio somewhere. I used to live up in Ohio somewhere.
Yes.
And so, okay.
So I was homeschooled. So my sister and I were both dancing at a very young age. And at one point,
they took
point
you to studios and everything?
Yeah. They took me to studios. And at one point, my dance teacher offered to let me help. I was 11. And she said, would you like to help me out in the morning with the like 3 and 4 year olds, kind of be my assistant teacher? And in turn, I'll give you for every like half hour that you assist me, I'll give you a half hour of classes for free.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, absolutely. And I was like, absolutely. So I started doing that. And then, by the time I was like 13 or 14, we weren't very financially stable. So my parents were like, you probably are going to have to quit dance. And I was like, I will do no such thing.
Right.
So I started working at the studio and I was teaching my own classes. I was cleaning the studio. I was babysitting for the dance teachers. Like, I was just like, I don't care what I have to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay in this, you know? So I think after that point, once I did, my parents were like, oh, really? You're going to do that? Okay, go ahead. You know, I think they thought it would fizzle out.
Sure.
And after a couple of years of still like teaching and cleaning and doing all that stuff, they came around to be like, okay, obviously this is what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And so once I got to like 17, 18, you know, they got behind me and now they think it's really exciting.
Yeah. And you were fueled by that passion. I think that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about the show every week when we talk to performers, you are your own small business.
Yeah.
And especially when we talk to people like Anne Martinez, mm-hmm. who you literally, yeah, she's like a machine of opportunity. When she finds the opportunity to fit with what she's working on, what she's doing, you jump with it. And that's what I'm saying is you fought for your passion to like clean the studio.
Yeah.
And then you got out here on a whim, right? You were out here seeing somebody,
yes.
visiting somebody when you came out here?
Well, I came out here the first time was to visit someone. I was married before.
Okay.
And my ex-husband was a dancer as well. We met on cruise ships. It was very magical. Yes. And he's lovely. He's a great dancer. He's not in Vegas anymore, but we actually came out here for him to pursue a job.
Okay.
But when we came out to visit, I saw a friend of mine, Michonne, and she was in Vegas the show.
Okay. Yeah.
And I sat in the audience and was like, oh my God, I love this show. I want to be in this show. I want to be in this show. So when we moved to Vegas for him, I immediately started auditioning and whatever. And it did not pan out right away.
Yeah.
I actually worked at Gilly's for the first 6 months I was here.
There you go.
Which was wonderful, except that I don't like country music. Other than that, it was amazing.
Oh my. Oh my. Yep. The Kentucky Derby's all over it.
Right? I just can't get
away
from
it. You know what the weirdest
thing
is? I'm sidetracking on that. I didn't know it was only like 2 minutes long.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Not that I thought that it was like, you know, they have to run laps like NASCAR. You know, I thought obviously horses would die running 100 laps.
Mentally.
But I didn't know, literally, they only go one time around the track.
And that was it.
And that's it. We had a 6-hour party for 2 minutes.
This is what I'm saying.
It was a lot of foreplay for 2 minutes
for
of activity. It was absolutely the most exciting 2 minutes of sports. Oh my gosh.
It was.
But so you saw Vegas, the show, and you were enthralled by this.
I was enthralled. And when I came back, it took a little while to get going. I started taking classes, and Michonne, same friend, had decided she was leaving the show.
Yeah.
And so she put me in touch with the dance captain, and I went and did a private audition. And then the dance captain was like, oh, I think you're really great, but I want you to meet the choreographer.
Sure.
Which is Tiger Martina.
Okay.
So I came back to an open call and I got hired for Vegas the show. And it was just, it was like, I couldn't even imagine a better situation. You know, it was exactly the show I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got hired, the part that I was doing in the show was pretty small.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't do any of the partnering. If there was a choice of girls, like if there's only 4 girls on stage, I wasn't one of them, you know, but the same thing. I was like, I don't care. I love it. I just want to be on stage in this show.
Yeah.
And by the time I left the show, I was in all the numbers and I was the dance captain and I was the understudy for the lead.
Oh my gosh. Ah! No, because that's called following your bliss. She goes, mm-hmm. Wait till you see her stand up. She's very graceful too in those heels. When you, that's following your bliss, following your passion, and literally the universe answering what you're attempting to do.
It's true. It's funny, you know. People say that you get back what you put out there, and like, you know, you have to be very specific with the universe about what you want. And when you hear that, you're like, yeah, okay. But then you see that it actually happens. You know, I was like, I want to be in that show, and I was in the show. And, you know, that seems to be how things have gone. And I've stayed very close with Tiger, which is how I ended up at Zombie Burlesque, actually.
Yeah.
I was his assistant choreographer on the show.
Okay.
And
the choreography is awesome. I mean, it's a really, and it's not unexpected because, you know, when Enoch was here, he was talking about a lot of the reviews you guys get very positive on TripAdvisor. And we also had Brandon Nix here that day as a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how, you know, he's so fun. we were talking about all of the reviews you guys get online. And I have to tell you, from all the shows we've worked on or been a part of, in my email inbox, and I don't even know if I ever gave them my email, the next day there was a survey for me to tell people how I thought the show was. And
stop
I've never,
it.
Now we read TripAdvisor at DW all the time for comments, but I've never myself reviewed anything. And
never?
It sent me the review to say, please go on TripAdvisor and rate the show. And then as soon as I did that, I started rating some other things while I was on there. But it was so fun because you guys have a great machine to teach people. Because one of the hardest things about Vegas shows in any form is advertising.
Yes.
And you never know what a show's about by an advertisement.
Yes.
I mean, you don't know that they have a song called Eating Penis Doesn't Make You Gay.
Right.
And
we don't put it on the billboard.
It's not on the billboard. No. So you don't know what to expect in the show. You don't know there's going to be a, 20-foot long dildo in the show.
It's the biggest dildo.
Because that might
ever.
Get a lot more people to the show. But you don't know by advertising. And so obviously so much of life is word of mouth and, reviews
it's
in that
true.
Way, especially TripAdvisor. So you guys have done a really great job of keeping people interested.
Thank you.
Because when we went to David Sacks Theater or the V Theater to see it, there's a long list of shows that you're going to see and how people choose. And, 90% of the people come here without buying tickets before they get here.
Right.
They're walking through Miracle Mile. They're looking to see what's going on. Maybe they're going to see Brittany or Lionel and they might have bought tickets prior.
Yeah.
But really, when you see that list of shows and you don't know what to expect, and it was a full house in Zombie Boy.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
a full house. I think it was raining that day. I don't know. Everyone was inside, but it was such a fun show. But the choreography, so you're responsible for a lot of the choreography of the show now too?
I am responsible for some of the choreography.
Yeah.
The show was choreographed by Tiger Martina.
Yep.
But he brought me on, which was just incredible. Again, it's like, I can't even imagine a better opportunity.
Yeah.
He pulled me aside one day while I was Dance Captain of Vegas, the show.
Yeah.
Was like, would you like to help me with an audition piece? We're just going to build a little, a little audition. And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. He's like, so we're going to do a burlesque number as zombies. And I was like, okay.
That was in my dreams last night, actually.
I helped him build this number. And then after the audition, he was like, okay, do you want to help me build the whole show? Like, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I very much do.
Wow.
So, but it's just crazy working with him. He is so, so talented and he's so quick and he's so funny.
Yeah.
And the thing about his choreography, which I think is part of the reason I was drawn to Vegas, the show, in the first place, is it's not surface, it's not topical. He really delves deep into why am I doing this movement? Mm-hmm. How can I communicate, these particular thoughts or emotions or, make funny through my movement? So sometimes the movements that he does don't feel natural for a dancer because you're like, but technique wise, you should do this. And he's very technical as well. But, it's like, but this is funnier. Or this looks like you're angry, or this looks like you're really enjoying yourself. I'm going to have you put your shoulders up, even though you would never do that in ballet training, whatever. So it's really cool to work with him and see where all this movement comes from, because then the end product, you really do get what he's trying to communicate to you.
Yeah. I mean, you do really look like zombies in a sense.
Thanks.
That they're not in a bad way, but in the dance, in the choreography, the movement would be very much like you would imagine a zombie would dance.
And it's a hard line to toe.
Yeah,
if
I
you
bet.
Think about it, to be a technically trained dancer and then be like, okay, we want to see you dance. We still want to see your technique. I want to see that you're flexible and you point your feet. But you also need to move like a zombie. Go.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? It's very hard. I feel terrible for people auditioning for the show. I'm always like, I'm so sorry, but you just got to try to figure it out.
That would be a very strange audition.
It's strange. Yeah. And then they usually have a part of the audition where they say, okay, do something really weird. Can you do a party trick? Something bizarre. Can you do something weird with your body? And
you can
learn a lot about people.
And you can you were a magician's assistant as well.
Yes.
And she has the cuts to prove it, being in boxes with knives going through, where a couple times the knives didn't quite go all the way through. Is this correct?
That is correct.
She had zombie training early on.
I did. My whole life has been leading me here.
Yeah. How was that, being tight boxes with magicians?
I still do it. I perform for Murray
Sawchuk.
That
is where we go into next. In fact, she's leaving here as soon as she's done to go to Murray because we're,
I have a 4 o'clock show.
I think your call time is pretty much soon.
Yeah,
so
it's right now.
Fine.
It's totally
fine. Murray will get her there in a minute. She's fine. She's
don't
all good.
Don't even worry about it.
Murray is over at Planet Hollywood as well.
He's at Planet Hollywood
as
well.
In the Sin City Theater.
Yes. It's awesome. I mean, it can be a little terrifying. Typically, magicians or assistants, pardon me, are not as tall as I am.
Right.
I'm 5'7". So most assistants are about 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah.
So the magician on the ship that I worked for, all of his illusions were built for his wife, who was 5'3".
Oh, shoot.
So when she left, he was like, okay, I need these people. I need you to fit in these boxes. And of course, absolutely. I love doing all the things on stage.
He might have taken aggressions out of his ex-wife on you.
Right?
With the knives, it sounds like. Get in this box.
Get in there. I actually, very recently, I traveled with Murray to Phoenix to do a show.
Okay.
And it was awesome. We had a great time. But Tommy Wind was also there, and he needed an extra girl. So I did the illusions with his wife, Stacy.
Okay. Okay.
And again, when I was trying to get in one of the illusions ahead of time, you know, just practice, I was like, I don't fit. I'm very, very stuck right now. And she was like, don't worry, I'll get a screwdriver if you need me to. And I was like, oh goodness. And so we ended up, it was fine. I was able to work it out, but I was like, I don't know how you do this. I'm like, I'm bruised, I'm cut up. And she's like, oh, we had another girl that was tall like you.
And she's dead.
And she died. and she just had to arrange herself a little differently, but she was 5'5". Yeah. And I was like, Mama, I'm 5'7". But yeah, it ended up okay. I did come away with a couple of cuts, but...
Ouch.
But nobody saw. That's the magic.
Yeah, that's
the
illusion of it.
Nobody saw.
The illusion of the illusionist is you walk out, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Everything's
It's all
fine.
In the lighting when you get out of the box. It's like, she's fine.
She's totally
She might
fine.
Pass out. She's lost a lot
down.
Of blood, but it's all good. There's a medic standing by at the Murray right. show every day.
But luckily, Murray's illusions are perfect. I fit perfectly inside of them, so... his show is a lot of fun.
Murray's a good afternoon show out there.
Yeah, he's great.
He's had a couple, you've moved a couple of venues, right? He's newly launched at Sin City, maybe in the last few months?
In the last year, I believe. He was at Tropicana before that. I didn't join him until December, so I've only been with him at Planet Hollywood. But yes, he was at Tropicana before that. And
I love his hair.
It's
awesome. I wake up with hair like his every morning. He has the best bed head of everybody I've ever seen. You know he's in the audience when you look around because there's the hair.
You're like, there it is.
It's like Guy Fieri hair. It's like sticks up. And so you also choreograph in Alice. So your choreography talents, you know, are lent to Anne Martinez and her entire crew putting on this awesome show at Brooklyn Bowl, which you have another one coming up this month.
We do. We have another one May 17th.
Okay. We'll all be there.
Oh, good.
We're all going to be there.
It's going to be a good one.
The aerial. Are you... The aerial act in the show?
I'm the aerial choreographer in the show. So I choreographed, there's two Lyra numbers in the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only performer in them. It's almost the entire cast that we get on. Yeah, and we do the Lyra, which has just been a really, really fun journey.
Because you've now added that because of Brooklyn Bowl. You've now been able to add that piece.
Now we're able to.
Yeah.
And Laura Kelsey does pole. Now, I did not choreograph her pole. That is all her because she is magnificent and amazing. She is on stilts on the pole.
Gotcha. That looks like you're in a nightclub.
Yes, I was performing for Red Foo right here. It was party rock and I was half body painted as a zebra and they asked me if I wanted to do a hoop number painted as a zebra wearing a mask. I was like, absolutely.
Right
I do.
There
that
with
sounds
the derby.
Safe.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Yep. And that's zombie burlesque. It's the end of the pole routine. They've made it a little more PC and added some costume for that photo.
Did you, in the previous scene when you're talking about Ariel in a nightclub scenario, did you ever, oh, look, there's Anne right there.
Yes.
Looks kind of lost in the photo.
And
right?
Adolfo, he's also in Alice. Yeah. He's our white rabbit. This was from Golden Rainbow last year.
Oh, yes. You were in Ribbon of Life.
Yes.
And you actually were in one of our scenes.
Yes, I was. I was in, I couldn't find.
You were in Forgiven.
Yes, that was the photo.
Alanis Morissette. Yeah, that's what it was.
The Alanis Morissette, the schoolgirl costume was from Golden Rainbow. It was so much fun. I love performing in that. I'm going to be in it
Are you going to be in this year too? So it's the 30th anniversary of that. We'll see you that in June. On June 13th for that.
13th.
So, Andy's out there because he's helping to direct the show this year too.
Yay!
So he's gotten his director hat on for that too. So
I love it. It's
such
a great show.
It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so much.
We're gonna get you out of here so you can get to Murray so I don't get bad hate mail from Murray
Come see me on stage in 10 minutes.
In 10. Andy will drive you so you can skip all the lights.
There
so thank you. It was a pleasure having you on here.
Thank you so much. So nice to meet you.
Let's have a shot. Let's have a shot.
Don't tell Murray.
The babysitter's dead. Here we go. Thank you, darling.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
See you next time.
Bye.